Right now, we are more so in the single family residential space. That's just where I'm comfortable. And that's what I know. I realize I have to get out of that comfort zone and start looking at the bigger projects, taking down the bigger things. But right now, it's a space that I'm comfortable in and I know it well. So that's really what we focus on.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. Hey, I'm excited for this episode here and our conversation that I'm going to have with Des Pollock. He's out of Central Florida. He's been in the business 3 years and has experienced some bumpiness, like all of us do along the way, just not even in the business, but just to get to the business. He's on both sides of the coin. He's an investor, and then he's also on the brokerage side. So I'm excited to have him here. Des, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you so much for having me, brother.
Happy New Year to you. We're recording this just after the first of the year for the audience's sake.
Absolutely. Happy New Year to you and to everybody.
Yeah, thanks. Well, hey, you've been in the business 3 years. Just tell me, how did you come to get into this business?
Sure. So I came to get into this business. I was actually a realtor at first, and I was just a straight realtor. Read a book like most people do, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and talk about a couple different things and talk about building assets and figure one of the great vehicles would be real estate. And quite frankly, I had absolutely zero money, but I was able to borrow enough money to pay to get my real estate license. And I borrowed money from somebody to help me to get my real estate license, got my real estate license and started up in it. Don't get me wrong, I love real estate in general, but then I really started looking at the investor side. And I really became known as a realtor for working with investors specifically and crunching numbers and working on behalf of investors for them to get a return on their money. There's so many of those transactions, I figured, why would I not do this for myself as well? And that's the start of this.
On that side of things, all single family homes?
Single family, small multifamily. I also did some commercial as far as, wasn't tremendous in commercial, but I did do a few shopping plazas, a few land developments, handful of stuff. But the majority of my stuff was small multifamily. You're talking under 12 units.
Yep. So then you decide, hey, I want to get into this investment space. And so what was your entry point into investing? What did that look like for you?
Yeah. So the entry point for me was, and as they make it sound so sexy, wholesaling, buy your first investment property, no money. You don't need any money. You don't need credit. You don't need any of this. And, right. And quite frankly, I had none of that.
So. This is for me. You're talking to me.
So I was like, this is perfect. I'm going to learn this and I'm going to do this. And that's how I got started. And it was a tough journey. I lost everything in the process of doing it. But fortunately, we got to the back end and here we are.
Yeah. Well, talk to me about that. You lost everything. I guess walk me through that. How'd you get to that point?
Sure. So I was a realtor and I was doing okay as a realtor. I wouldn't say I was super successful or anything. I was doing okay. I really wanted to understand and learn the investment space. And after learning and learning, and I spent a good 6 months of just cramming whatever I could find, any kind of meetup I could be at, any kind of book I can read, any kind of person I can rub shoulders with that I need to know. I worked super hard. I was super purposeful about that. And then eventually came to the point where I was like, all right, well, I'm going to take a chance on myself and I'm going to do this because I realized I'm a firm believer in a jack of all trades is a master of none. Mm-hmm. And I had to bet on myself. So I bet on myself and quite frankly, I didn't have the best plan or anything. And I essentially, my income went down nothing. I went about 6 months without any income. I ended up.
And it's because you went all in on the investment side and then to the abandonment of being the real estate broker and agent. Okay. Got it. So you're all in on the investment side and then you're trying everything and the bank accounts going the wrong direction.
Yep. Went down and down. So lost everything. Got my car repossessed. Ended up not having a place to live. Was living on couches and actually ended up going through a separation with my wife, unfortunately, which I don't blame her one bit at all. I deserved everything. Eventually, you know, after so much time and kept on going, pushing. And eventually all worked out to here we are now. We just finished our third year in business and doing over $1 million in revenue with our investments.
It's incredible. How did you keep going? I mean, at some point you're like, either it would have been easier to quit going down this path and do anything or just easily go back to being a real estate agent where you're doing fine.
Yeah, so everybody has one of these moments, those type of rock bottom moments where you realize, you know what, this is, everybody's a breaking point to where this is not tolerable anymore. I cannot tolerate this lifestyle, living like this anymore. And that moment actually came for me one day when I was on the couch, sleeping on the couch. I had two kids at the time, and my two kids were sleeping on that same couch with me. I remember just sitting there thinking, this was probably 2-3 o'clock in the morning, where I was like, there is no way that this can be acceptable for me and for my children. And my children are 2 and 1 at this point in time, so they had no idea. But I remember and thinking that one of my children was asleep. And I remember just kind of verbally saying, like, you know what, this isn't okay anymore. I'm going to make sure you guys have your own room. I'm going to make sure you guys have your own house. And we're not going to live like this anymore. And my 2-year-old at the time, I had no idea he was awake. He kind of pops his head up and he said, don't worry, Dad, I know you'll figure it out. And I was his hero at that time. And then that truly broke me to where that was that point where I was like, okay, line in the sand, enough is enough. This is going to work. And I'm going to figure this out. Because if I'm going to be transparent, I was going all in, I guess, financially, but not mentally. And I was still doubting myself, analysis paralysis, not getting out there and doing it. That was my breaking point to where I was like, this is going to get figured out. And shortly after, it did.
Yeah. All right. So bring me forward. How did you get from that point to where you are today?
At first, I was going to do this all on my own. I was going to be the solopreneur, make a whole bunch of money, just and live by myself, away from a team. I didn't want any of that. And I have a fantastic partner. His name is Damone.
Great guy.
Amazing guy. And he actually sought me out because one thing I did have a reputation of here locally was working with investors and working with investments. So he sought me out. He was actually at another brokerage. He was also a realtor. Went up to met with me. Honestly, this is a funny exchange that we have because my first meeting with him is I had 2 beers in my hand. I was actually at a bar. I had 2 beers in my hand and this guy walks up to me. He's taller than me and bigger than me, Damone is. Walks right up to me about 1 foot from my face and he says, you don't know me yet. My name is Damone. We're going to be working together. That is exactly how I first met Damone. And I said, who are you? It was kind of like a shock moment for me. Yeah. But after that, we started working together and then really started pushing me to build this. I think you have a great idea. I think you have a great vision for this. Build this up. Let's make it more than just what you currently have. Yeah. And we did. And he has been right there with me since day one. And we did. And we just kept on building from team to hiring acquisition agents, hiring disposition agents, hiring realtors for the team, hiring people to now run those teams.
Yep.
And it's been amazing to watch so far.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place. Batchleads.io. Batchleads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batch Leads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batch Leads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month. Wow. What's been the highest of highs here in the last year for you in 2021? What was the absolute best moment you guys experienced as a team?
2021, one of the best moments for me, and it wasn't directly even anything that had to really relate or do with me, when our acquisitions team, a couple of people from our acquisitions team had put themselves in the position to be real estate investors themselves. And now they started buying properties that we had been acquiring. And instead of us wholesaling it off, to see that culture that we created and how they knew that was important and how the organization that we built was able to put them in a position to build wealth for them and their family was super humbling. And it was a really good experience to see.
Yeah, it's very cool. Okay, so talk to me about your investment business. What do you guys do? Do you wholesale? Do you fix and flip? You buy and hold? What does that look like?
Yes. So currently we own Encore Home Offer, where we are fix and flipping. We are wholesaling. And currently we do have a small portfolio that is going to be a huge focus for us moving forward. but that's what we do. So pretty much when it comes to investing, right now we are more so in the single family residential space. Yeah. Small multifamily stuff. That's just where I'm comfortable. And that's what I know. Yep. I realize I have to get out of that comfort zone and start looking at the bigger projects, taking down the bigger things. But right now it's a space that I'm comfortable in and I know it well. So that's really what we focus on.
Yep, exactly. Are you doing more wholesaling or more fix and flipping?
Right now it's definitely more wholesaling. Mm. For instance, last year we did 89 deals. About 12 of those were actually flips.
Okay.
The vast majority of them you can see is wholesaling.
Yeah. Out of your total revenue pool, what percentage is on the traditional real estate side? So meaning real estate agent team side.
Yes. So residential wise, this may be a tough number to admit, $160,000.
All right. You're mainly investing. That's what I was trying to get at. Yeah, your lion's share is on the investment side of things.
Yes.
All what I suspect is you use that brokerage side of things to complement your investments side of things.
Absolutely.
Somebody's got a list to fix and flip. Not every deal makes sense to work on the investment side. Sometimes you want to refer it over. Now you have an option.
That's exactly what it is. It's kind of like a net that catches people need a list, our own personal flips, etc.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So talk to me about your team structure. What does that look like? How many people are there and what do they do?
Sure. So on our investment business right now, we have one admin, one acquisition agent, a part-time acquisition agent. Yeah, he really works on a commission-only basis.
Yep.
And disposition agent. There's four people there that generate that. On the, and keep in mind, I'm not counting myself or my partner in those numbers. Yep. And then on the retail side, we have one agent and an admin.
Yeah, perfect. Well, you can keep it pretty lean when you're 85-15 investments over retail side, just not focused. What's your culture like in your business?
So, and me and my partner, if you've ever met my partner, we're exact opposites. So I'm a big fun guy.
Yeah.
You have to have fun when you do. You have to have fun at work. And it's funny because we don't even work in the same office together, myself and Damone, because his working style is completely opposite from mine. He'd prefer to work in a closet with a locked door that you can never find him in. I prefer to work in the middle of Manhattan, yeah, in the city, just everything that's happening all around me. But really big on fun culture, but also making sure that it goes back to productivity. And we're making sure we're getting the most important things done on a daily basis. And just making sure that, again, because tell everybody, like, we can have fun all day, but without money coming in the door, we're not going to be having much fun for very long.
Correct. Yep. It's a necessity. You're totally right about that. Talk to me about hiring. In the last year, have you added or subtracted anybody?
Yeah. So my lead acquisition guy, he was brought in on the past year. And bringing him in was really a game changer. He truly is a fantastic, I mean, quite, he is the best hire that I've ever had in acquisitions. Be super transparent. My partner, Damone, he handles all the hiring. Our process isn't too in depth. I mean, we do go through a lot of interviews and yep, sometimes it can be sound excessive. We obviously outside of Indeed and just getting the applicants in, we have about four interviews with them. One is just simple conversation at first, 15 minutes just to feel them out, feel out both sides of the equation.
Yeah.
And then from there, we have a couple of things like DISCs or KPAs that we put them through, just personality tests to understand a little bit about them. Yep. And then one of the most important things that I really enjoy about our interview process is we do a group interview to where myself and Damone, as the owners of the company, we are not there. And we put them in with the team and getting the team's perspective on things. And sometimes they come out with some great nuggets that I myself or Damone didn't catch.
Yep. How do you make a decision to hire? You and Damone have a shared opinion and the team comes back with something else. What happens?
Oh, yeah. So fortunate enough, we've always usually been on the same page, yeah, or at least close to the same page. But it seems as if we wouldn't be on, let's say we wouldn't be directly on the same page. We do have, in certain roles, each one voice may outweigh the other. For instance, in any kind of operational role or anything, Damone's voice kind of outweighs mine a little bit because mm-hmm, that's where he focuses versus on the sales side or anything to do with the sales, revenue, bringing in, generating. My voice tends to go up a little higher there just because they're going to be working directly with me. So that's how we would sort it out, really came down to it. And that's how we actually sort out most issues. If we don't agree on something, if it kind of leads towards his realm,
yep,
his voice gets outweighed. If it kind of leads toward my realm, then my voice tends to be.
Talk to me about this year, 2022. Where are you guys headed?
2022, you know, one thing I've been blessed with in 2021 was the surrounding myself with certain caliber of people. And I was very, very purposeful about that in masterminds, mentorships, coaches, et cetera. It was very purposeful. And the reason I bring that up is because 2021, my focus was completely on revenue. Bring money in the door. Let's make a bunch of money. Let's make $1 million and let's really shake this thing up. Yep. 2022, my values have shifted tremendously towards three words I'm really carrying with me, which is profitability, net worth, and passive income. So with that being said, I don't have a top line revenue goal. I have a goal of having 18 doors. So we're looking to bring in 18 new doors into our world in 2022. We have a goal of getting our passive revenue up to $5,000 a month each for myself.
And so 10,000 total. Yep.
10,000 total. And we have a goal of increasing our net worth to over $1 million, million plus.
A million plus. Yeah. And the intent is, and how you do that is through 18 doors.
Through 18 doors. Exactly. Now, instead of thinking as wholesaling as what we do,
yep,
we think of wholesaling as a vehicle to where we're going.
Yeah, that's interesting. You're right. It gets you the outcome in which you desire, and the outcome are those three things.
Yeah. So that was a big shift, and it's totally credit to the people that I've been able to be around in 2021 to really make that shift.
Yeah. Knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently starting out?
I would have been focused on those three things earlier, profitability, net worth, and passive income, just being super transparent. We made over $1 million this year. It was fantastic. But my profitability numbers weren't great. I mean, it really got to the end of this year of making that $1 million. It just felt like, that's it. I don't feel any different. I don't feel like I'm rich.
Right. Yeah, no, I understand that. What has been on the marketing side? What's your number one go-to best marketing channel?
Best marketing channel that we do, and it's the age-old cold calling. So cold we calling. Are yeah. big onto cold calling. I believe we have somewhere between like 10 and 15 cold callers all full-time that really run our business. Aside from that, I mean, we'll do things like PPC, SMS. Yep. SMS is becoming very difficult though. I don't know.
Correct. And
I hear some people are having success with that.
Well, the increased regulation and then a number of vendors who are just saying, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. The world is changing there.
But that's why we stick to cold calling where it is right now.
What's the absolute worst marketing channel that you've done over the course of the last 3 years? And you're like, no, we're not going down that path again.
Oh, that is a great question. And absolute worst one for us personally. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with this channel. I think I had it kind of set up really wrong, was direct mail for us.
Direct mail. Yeah.
Didn't do great for us.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think, well, I know it was my fault because I hear people who have much success with direct mail.
Right.
But just we didn't have great success with it. And I lost thousands of dollars sending out postcards and calls coming in from who knows where and who's getting what. And I ultimately ended up the day with the goose egg.
Yeah. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. But first, a word from our sponsors. Thinking about adding people to your team now or in the next year? New and experienced investors alike are turning to the definitive book on hiring, written by yours truly. It's called Unicorn Hunting for Real Estate Investment Companies. How to easily attract, screen, and land a unicorn. It's the complete hiring funnel. This book is a step-by-step process. It includes the secret sauce for attracting more applicants than you'll ever need, the exact resources to use along with screenshots, so it's easy to follow, how to accurately compensate the role and find candidates who will work for 15 to 30% less than the average wage in your home city. P.S. No, we're not shipping the jobs overseas. How to weed out applicants, including the exact word-for-word my team uses in our own business. Every single email needed for the entire process, it's all included. The screening tools used when interviewing, when to make the job offer. It's so easy that 90% of the work that goes into unicorn hunting can be done by someone else or a VA. This book retails on Amazon for $49.95. But since you listen here to Real Grit, I want to say thanks. I want to give you a free copy. I just ask that you cover the shipping handling. To get your free copy, along with a few valuable bonuses I have not yet even mentioned, go to www.landaunicorn.com. That's www.landaunicorn.com right now to get your free book. Tell everybody, for the audience's sake, before you got into real estate, what was the last 5 years like before you got into real estate? What were you doing?
Sure. Before I was working at a grocery store down here called Publix. They don't have them up north.
Right. Huge grocery store too. And, yep.
Being a grocery manager, stocking shelves and everything. But one thing that I was really just super interested in is just constant feeling for me. And I still get it to where like, there's gotta be more. There's gotta be more to this than just working. I came from a family to where my father was in jail, unfortunately, for my life. He was a long time in jail. And my mother lived on disability. So I didn't have a lot to look up to. And the only thing I was really taught was get a job. I didn't go to college or anything, was just get a job and work. And Publix was, they hired me the youngest I could get. Which I think I got work there from like 16 all the way up until 25, just stocking shelves. And that was all I knew. It was the only world I knew until I started reading and understanding more.
What turned you on to that? What point, you worked there for 9 years, you could have just been there forever. What was it that you said, there's got to be more? Because there's a lot of people who don't take that leap. They're not going to open a book. Statistically, a huge percentage of the population doesn't read a single book post high school. What was it?
Absolutely true. And someone had actually given me the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
And they really wanted me to read it. The funny thing is they gave it to me at 19. I didn't read it till I was 25. They gave it to me at 19 and it sat on my shelf for 6 years. And I was one of those population numbers. I did not read a single book. Barely even in high school, I was reading books. So you think I'm going to read for fun now? Right. Absolutely not. Right. There are no ways. This sounds like a terrible idea. So it sat on my shelf. And then eventually I just started looking at things and just started reading up and realizing that I wanted more out of life. There has to be more to than just working a job and barely making ends meet. So I cracked open the book and it caught my interest. I just kept on reading.
It's incredible. Let's do this. I want to move on to our final segment, what I call Four Impact.
Four for impact.
Hey, your favorite quote is, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right.
Absolutely.
Why is that so important to you?
Because I'm such a big believer on your mindset. Mm. And I believe that's where everything starts. There's a saying that we have in our brokerage called be, do, have. And what it means by that is you have to be the person in your mind. Before you have it, you have to mentally be that person.
Yeah, right.
So that's why I tell people, whether you think you can or can't do something, you're right. Because anything that you're going to do starts right here, that you have to believe that you can do it.
Yeah. Where did that come from in your life to have that attitude?
So I'm a big, big believer into like Tony Robbins mindset. But where it really came from was from my father. And it was almost like an anti-influence. Like it wasn't like influential to the point where I was like, you know what, that's what I want to be. Yeah. It was influential to the point where that's what I don't want to be.
Mm.
And his mindset around everything was such a victim mindset. Where, and even to this day, where he sees what I'm making and I'm like, listen, we can help, we can start, we can do businesses, you can do this. And it's such a mindset where he shuts it down so fast in his mind before anything else. And really, that's what I realized, that's what I didn't want to be. So that's when I adopted the opposite mindset.
Equally as important to know what you don't want to be is what you do want to be. As far back as you can recall, when did that take place that you adopted that mindset?
That took place, and this was back in late middle school, early high school. And I remember, you know, my parents had actually might have been a little bit before that, but my parents had a house that got foreclosed on, and we were living in there. Unfortunately, during that time, we got kicked out of our house and had to find someplace to live. And I just remember hearing and say how everything else was everybody else's fault. And the house got foreclosed on, and there was no sense of ownership that ever happened during all that. And me as a kid, just even seeing that to where I was like, this seems like a bunch of excuses. This seems like you're just giving a bunch of excuses here about why we lost our house and why we have no place to live now.
Yeah.
And it just rubbed me so much the wrong way where I realized I never want to be that.
Incredible. What do you think holds most investors back from getting to the next level, their personal next level?
Analysis paralysis.
Oh yeah. Just drowning in the info.
Drowning in
a decision.
I was guilty of it to where I would focus so much on learning. And then an opportunity will come up. And you know, I don't know enough about that. And even still to this day, it burns me to where, like I mentioned, I'm comfortable in that small multifamily space. Yeah. And fortunate enough, I put myself in rooms with peers who are now doing these bigger, larger deals because I have to, because if I don't, I'm going to be analysis paralysis and looking at those deals. And never pulling the trigger. I have to get uncomfortable.
Yeah. So for you, your way out of that, and then the advice, I guess, going back to an investor who's in that is get in rooms, get with other people who are ahead of you, if you will, get uncomfortable and push.
Yeah. You can't be the biggest fish in your pond.
Yeah.
You have to. And I'm in rooms now to where I almost feel inadequate in some of these rooms and hearing from some of these people. And I'm embarrassed sometimes, but that's how I know I'm in the right spot.
You're in the right spot. That's when you know you're growing. Yeah. Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
So I'm really big into playtime. And what I mean by that, it's not a lot of different things, but I'm really big into cutting loose as an adult and enjoying yourself. And so I do a number of different things that are just playtime for me. Like, for instance, I love to just go out and play outside with the kids or ride a bike or go on a trail or even play video games and stuff with the kids. I'm really big into that stuff. And there's been so many studies that shown that being so uptight and work and 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. doing that, it's ineffective. And I really enjoy that playtime with kids. So I'm a big play guy, like theme parks, all that stuff. Like, I have a membership to every theme park that's around me. Fortunately, I'm in Orlando, Florida.
So yeah.
I go to all of them all the time, but I'm really big on just playing.
Yeah.
Playing as an adult. It's win and take it.
No, that's cool. What's your favorite way to make an impact in your community?
My favorite way to impact, it's underprivileged youth and really mentoring and speaking at or going to a lot of those. So Boys and Girls Clubs, we have a couple of different those types of clubs here locally.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Because similar to me, I didn't know anybody. Someone fortunate enough graciously gave me that book at 19 and I wasn't dumb enough to not read it until 25. But there's so many other circumstance situations like mine to where you just don't know any better. You want more, you know, you want to do more, but you don't know any better. And unfortunately, you just don't know what you don't know. So that's why it's a huge pull of mine to make sure speaking to underprivileged youth in certain situations and letting them know like, hey, there's more than just what you see your parents do. There's more than just going to jail and living off a disability. Right. There's so much more to life that you can do.
So much. Tremendous way to get back. Tremendous. For folks who want to follow you, connect with you, find you online, how can they do so?
Yes. So you can always visit our website, EncoreHomeOffer.com. Aside from that, I'm on Instagram at Desmond Pollock Official. I'm also on Facebook, Desmond Pollock. Please shoot me a friend request. Love to connect with anybody here. And if anybody needs anything in Central Florida, I'm here for you.
Perfect. Well, we'll make sure we put the links in the show notes here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I appreciate you connecting up, taking time out of your schedule to chat. It's been an incredible year. I've seen you make really tremendous strides in your business, and I'm excited for you and Damone in 22 here.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Hey, for everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons reminding you that real estate requires real grit. I'll see you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.